Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome the four talented players who are this week going to play Just a Minute. We welcome back two of our real old standing players of the game, that is Derek Nimmo and Peter Jones, Tony Hawks, who's played it many times, and Fred McCauley, who's only played it once before. A few weeks ago, we recorded a show in the Civic Theatre in Ayr, and it was so popular and the audience was so marvellous. They've invited us back. Beside me sits Liz Trott, who's going to blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. She'll also keep the score. And I'm going to ask our four players of the game if they can speak on the subject that I give them. And they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And we're going to begin the show this week with our Scottish player, Fred McCauley. And Fred, a lovely Scottish subject, or you can take it any way you wish, of course, Burns. Will you tell us something about that a subject starting now?
Well, 1996 is the bicentenary of Burns' death, and 200 years ago he was lucky because you didn't have any problems with hesitation, repetition, or deviation, which is just as well, because gone would have been the poems like, My love is like a red something other color rose.
Derek, your chance.
Well, a very mean hesitation, actually.
I think it was mean, and as Fred's only played the game once before.
I withdraw.
Fred, we're going to be lenient with you. You keep the subject. I get a point for being interrupted, by the way. 45 seconds are left on Burns, starting now.
Another...
That's often what happens. Peter, you challenge this time.
It was a hesitation.
A strong hesitation there. So, Peter, so you have 43 seconds. You get a point for a correct challenge. You take over the subject of Burns, starting now.
Well, I think immediately of George Burns, that wonderful comedian who used to partner his wife, Gracie Allen. And since she died, he's established himself as a solo artist. And he's in his 90s now, still appearing fairly regularly on television. And the thing I admire most about him is that he's signed a contract to appear at the London Palladium on his 100th birthday. And I do hope that I shall be there to see him, because it won the most remarkable.
Fred, that challenge.
Yeah, I'm coming in with a mean hesitation as well.
No, I don't think it was so mean. I think it was definite hesitation. So you have Burns back with you with 14 seconds to go, starting now.
Well, I prefer Robbie Burns, and he would have said, my love is like a red and another coloured rose.
No, Tony, you challenge. You said
repetition of red again, I'm afraid.
You can't repeat the words you've already used when you were
not
previously
even the first
talking.
Time.
No, no, no.
Oh, my apologies.
You can repeat them in an...
I was just going to...
You can repeat them in another round, but not in this round. You didn't know that, did you, Fred?
No, I didn't know that.
And the audience insists that you have it back. Right, so you've got to interrupt, you get another point. 8 seconds on Burns, Fred, with you starting now.
Fair for your honest sonsy face. Hey, chieftain o'er the puddin race. A bend them all, you hod your place. That was one of his famous poems, and I know it.
Oh, by the way, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point, and it was Fred McCauley, our second-time player of the game. Tony Hawks, it's your turn to begin. The subject, Mensa. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
I used to think that Mensa was an acronym for Mentally Enhanced Nerds Sit Around. I am not a member of Mensa. I was sent the application form, but was unable to reassemble it in the shape of a rhomboid in the allotted 40 seconds. Gary Bushell, however, the TV critic of The Sun, is in this magnificent society, which goes to show that intelligence and good writing don't necessarily go together. He will not give me a good review next time I appear on the television.
Fred McCauley challenged.
Yeah, it was a pretty weak challenge, but I think we heard television twice.
Yes, the television critic, he said, and television
well,
again.
Why was that a weak challenge? I would have thought that was a bloody good one.
No, the bell didn't go off very strongly.
Ah, I see what you mean.
27 seconds, Fred. Mensa, starting now.
I know that Mensa isn't an acronym at all. It comes from the Latin Mensa, which means likely to be found in kitchens, extremely boring, and unlikely to have much of a life beyond...
Peter Jones challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes. Hesitation. Yeah. 14 seconds are left. Mensa is with you. Another point as well, of course, starting now.
Yes, I remember being told to learn this when I was at school, and the second person singular is O Table.
Derek Nimmo challenged.
Well, this was a hesitation.
There was a hesitation, no, Derek.
Sort of. Well, I wanted to do it slowly so that people would be able to take it in, since it is Latin and it's yes. not difficult.
I thought you were going to actually decline it for us.
Well, I would have done, but unfortunately... Well, O Table, you see, means O Table. And I thought, well, if I ever have occasion to address a piece of furniture, I shall know how to do it. I can't believe that the Romans ever really needed to do that. They didn't go around talking to pieces of wood, did they? They'd never have got anywhere.
7 seconds for you, Derek, on Mensa, starting now.
I think you'd have to be a member of Mensa to be able to understand Robert Burns, Greek chieftain of the pudding race. An extraordinary thing to say.
Fred,
challenge desserts.
You see, I got into trouble for saying red twice, and he's just said what I said.
I know, but he didn't say it in the other round.
All right, it's okay. I'm picking up the rules as we go along.
So, Derek interrupted Mensa. 1 second, starting now.
Michael Winner is a member...
Peter, it's your turn to begin. The subject is Tiddlywinks. Will you tell us something about that intriguing game starting now?
Well, I don't think it is intriguing. Rather boring, in fact. But it is dangerous. Anybody under five shouldn't be allowed to do it. Because they look, these Tiddlywinks look very like Smarties. And they might easily put them in their mouths and choke to death, perhaps. And anyone over five, of course, ought not to play it because they must be out of their minds.
Tony Hawk's challenge.
I'm sorry, but it was a repetition of five there.
Yes, there was five. Anyone over five and under five. Sorry.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Tony, you've got in with 42 seconds on the subject of Tiddlywinks, starting now.
If you were winking at someone surreptitiously, you might be said to be indulging in Tiddlywinks. However, I would be the last person to say this because it's not remotely funny. Tiddlywinks is a fantastic game. Little bits of plastic flicking them about with your fingers. Oh, what a way to spend an evening. Many's the time I have all my chums over. We crack open a few beers. It's going to be our Tiddlywinks evening. We sit up. We get so excited. We put bets on. Yes, who's going to win the Tiddlywinks championship tonight? We say to each other as we excitedly bound towards the board where we keep the plastic bits.
Fred challenged.
A repetition of plastic.
Yes, there was too much plastic there, I'm afraid. So, Fred, you got in with 6 seconds on Tiddlywinks, starting now.
Anyone who ever plays Tiddlywinks is unlikely to find themselves also being a member of Mensa, because if you do that...
Fred, I think you're getting the idea of how to play this game now. You've increased your lead at the end of that round, and Derek Nomo's turn to begin. Derek, bunkers. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
I suppose the biggest series of bunkers ever made, that is out of concrete and steel, was the Maginot Line, which was a fortification between France and Germany. The Huns, quite sensibly, didn't try to go through it. They went round the edges, and it worked frightfully well. Actually, the frogs hadn't thought of that, which is rather surprising. But other bunkers, of course, can be for coal. I have one of these bunkers in my little cottage in London, and I keep this
Peter Jones challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, I think so, Peter. You have another point, you have the subject, there are 32 seconds, and it is bunkers with you, starting now.
When one of my sons was very young...
Yes, Derek.
A general sort of confusion.
Well, yes, he had a sharp hesitation for you, so I must be fair and give you a sharp hesitation. Back, so 30 seconds with you, Derek, on bunkers, starting now.
If you go to the Ayrshire coast, you will see some of the most magnificent and evil bunkers on the golf course there...
Peter Jones challenge.
What did he say? Evil bunkers?
Evil bunkers,
evil,
yes.
Evil bunkers.
Are they evil?
Well, I said to a golfer they could be described as being evil.
I think evil, they're really difficult.
They're difficult.
Difficult, yes. But evil is a different thing. We're talking about good and evil. I mean, we can't really talk about these sand holes. It doesn't make sense, does it?
I don't think so. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, because you had a very sharp challenge on you a moment ago.
Yes.
Benefit of the doubt, 23 seconds, Peter. Bunkers starting now.
This boy said, "What is a bunker, Daddy?" And I said, "It's something on a golf course, a hole." And he said, "Did Hitler play golf?" And I said, "Well, no, that's a different sort of bunker altogether."
Derek, no more chance.
Went to one noise again.
No, he didn't go whoa, whoa, whoa then.
You're one to talk.
Yes. The last time he did, but not that time, Derek. 13 seconds, still with you, Peter, on bunkers starting now.
And they create these all over the golf courses so that people can't just...
Tony Hawk's challenge.
I think repetition of golf.
You mentioned golf courses before. So, Tony Hawk's, you've cleverly got him in 9 seconds.
That's
left.
That rule you made up in order to get him out of it, wasn't it? About not repeating it, something you said earlier in the round.
Can't repeat
Fred
words.
Said he was picking it up as he was going along, and I thought, well, Nicholas is making it up as he goes along.
I don't know why you're clapping. He's talking rubbish. It's one of the rules of the game. You can't repeat certain words, and you have repeated the word golf.
Not after you've had an interruption, surely.
Yes, and you know that. After 28 years, Peter, you know that in one round you cannot repeat the word however many times you are interrupted.
Really?
And that has always been the truth.
Well, I never knew that.
Right.
Crazy, isn't it?
Anyway, you're
I've always thought there was something wrong.
Tony Hawks. You've got 9 seconds to tell us something about bunkers starting now.
My cousin was in a coal bunker which caught fire, and he got burns on the underside of his chin, on the front and underneath, at exact right angles, and was admitted to hospital with 90 degree burns.
So Tony Hawks was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so. He is in fourth place behind Derek Nimmo, then Peter Jones, but one ahead of Peter is our leader, still Fred McCauley, who begins the next round. Fred, allergies. Can you tell us something about that in this round, starting now?
I've only ever suffered from one allergy. I've never been one to sneeze when a cat comes into the room or something like that. My allergy was an allergy to strawberry plants as they grew. Strawberry leaves...
Tony Hawks danced.
Sorry, repetition of strawberry there.
Too many strawberries, I'm afraid, yes. 47 seconds are available for you on allergies, Tony, starting now.
I am allergic to people who have allergies. Whenever they appear, I get a rash desire to tell them to pull themselves together and stop whinging and moaning about this and that. A cat is not that much of a problem, I say to them. But am I being unsympathetic? Allergies can be serious. I can also, and I'm going to be in a minute. But first, a humorous joke about allergies.
Fred McCauley challenged.
There was all kinds of things going wrong there, wasn't there?
Well, he
deviated for a minute and then hesitated.
That's right, he deviated from that. He was telling about telling jokes and not about allergies. So, listen, Fred, deviation, 22 seconds, back with you, allergies, starting now.
These plants that grow out of the ground and bear fruit.
Tony.
Repetition of plants.
Is a strawberry plant. I'm afraid you are right, Tony. 19 seconds. Allergies starting now.
In my poem, Elegy to Allergy, I cover this subject enormously well. Those of you that have purchased it, for it is at sale in W.H. Smith and other leading stockists, price £400, you have read it and know it already. No need for...
Derek Nimmo, challenge.
You read my book and then you read
yes,
it again.
Yes, read... You've got him with 2 seconds to go on allergies, Derek, starting now.
My poor dear wife, to whom I've been married for 40 years, is allergic to me.
Derek Nimmo was speaking as the whistle went, move forward, and he's only 1 point behind our leader, who is still Fred McCauley. Tony Hawks, your turn to begin. The subject, shades. Can you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
My favourite hobby is wandering into a chemist or a large store and watching people as they purchase shades, because they buy them mainly to look cool. And what happens? They have little tags hanging over their noses when they try them on. I stand behind the counter and snigger at them as this goes on. And they are so humiliated, they don't go ahead with the particular object they were about to buy. I wish that I had the opportunity to wear shades and look cool on this...
Afraid, Challenge.
Yeah, another cool slipping in there.
Cool, yes. Too cool, right. Fred, 30 seconds. Shades, starting now.
A boy at our school was called Shades McGowan because he always wore dark glasses to make him look sinister rather than cool. He was an evil-looking character, in the old-fashioned sense of the word, which meant that he...
Derry Nimmo challenge first.
Well, repetition of ha-ha.
No, just a repetition of ha, I think. Right, Derek, 17 seconds. Shades, starting now.
I have a very gloomy garden. It's very difficult to find plants that will actually grow in the shade. Hostas I recommend to any gardeners that happen to be here.
Tony Hawks.
Deviation, he's talking about shade and not shades.
No.
Yes. I think that's a good challenge of deviation. 10 seconds with you, Tony, on shades, starting now.
International celebrities wear them under the pretense that they won't be recognised, but what happens? You see them and think, there's that bloke trying to get noticed with those ridiculous...
Tony Hawks kept going till the whistle went, gained that extra point, and it is Peter Jones' turn to begin. The subject now, Peter, charm. Can you tell us something about charm? I think it's lacking in our society so much today. Starting now.
Well, you really took the words out of my mouth. But it is not in very good supply at the moment, particularly in show business. When you think of the glorious stars of the past, like Jack Buchanan and Barbara Mullen and Sophie Stewart and Harry Gordon and all those people who are familiar to you, I'm sure, they were really charming. Now, you can't say that about Bruce Willis and various other people who are star...
Yeah, Fred, challenge first.
Bruce Willis is charming. So I can say it.
You can say it, yes, but I wouldn't have that as a challenge if I were you. What about hesitation, Fred?
Okay.
Right. 30 seconds, Fred, starting now.
Not all of the McGowan family were evil. The younger brother of Shades was called Charm McGowan because he...
Tony.
I'm afraid repetition of McGowan.
Oh, it's a tough game. 32 seconds with you on charm. Tony Hawk starting now.
There are many beautiful girls here this evening, but of them all, you are the most radiant. Would be an example of charm. However, I don't have that ability. Instead of doing that, I will approach a female and say, there are some interesting cycle routes in the area, aren't there? Or isn't it amazing how long things stay hot in thermos flasks? I wish I had the charm to woo them in the way that Bruce Willis...
Tony Hawks kept going on charm till the whistle went, and charmed the audience, got a big round of applause and a point, and he's now equal in the lead with Fred Macaulay. And Derek Nimmo, your turn to begin. The subject, growing sprouts.
I remember when I was about 8 years old, I was in the bath, and my mother was coming in to see me, and she suddenly noticed that growing out of my back there were little sprouts, and she said, you little angel, because she thought I was going to turn into one. And from then on, I've always been called Gabriel. They never grew very large, of course, but they are quite definitely sprouts. And if any of you would like to come after the show today, I'd very happy to show the little feathered friends that I have there on my back. If you want to grow them in a horticultural sense...
Challenge. Yes?
Back?
I thought it was quite sick-making, actually. But, Fred, you have another point. You have growing sprouts. You have 31 seconds, starting now.
Growing Sprouts McGowan was the third brother. And he got his nickname from his horticultural predilection.
Hesitation, yes. Too many McGowan. 23 seconds, Derek. Growing sprouts starting.
Well, you need a really good compost. That's the most important thing. I put a lot of manure into the ground. You dig your furrows and you grow the seedlings elsewhere. Bring them out.
Tony Hawk's challenged.
Repetition of grow.
Yes, I'm afraid so. Tony, 16 seconds, growing sprouts starting now.
My grandfather has an allotment which he shares with the McGowan family. Shade and charm, and their sprouts are all...
Derek Nimmer challenge.
Why does your grandfather have an allotment in Perthshire?
Because he lives in Perthshire.
8 seconds for you, Tony. Incorrect challenge, starting now.
I have been growing sprouts since I was 4 years old. I didn't do it in the bath like Derek did. I did it at the bottom.
Fred McCauley, we're back with you to begin the subject, busking. Talk on the subject, if you can, starting now.
Busking is the generic term for anybody that wants to stand up in a street anywhere with any old instrument. It could be a tea chest or a guitar, and they think that this is entertainment. All they have to do is shout, and people think, oh, this is magnificent, I'll give them some money.
Derek Nimmer,
two things.
There were two things, yes. 47 seconds for you, Derek, on busking.
I think the most wonderful buskers in the whole wide world are in Xochimilco in Mexico. There are the mariachis standing there, hundreds of them, waiting for her. You go on one boat, they go on another, and they play to you quite divinely. 3 trumpets, 7 violins. You toss them coins, pesos, which they're frightfully grateful for. Mind you, you can't use the London Hawk underground.
Why are you telling them to pesos?
All right, Tony, have a bonus for that one. But Derek was interrupted. Keeps the subject. Busking starting now.
I went onto the Piccadilly line, and as I descended the escalator, I saw a very amiable fellow from the West Indies playing a saxophone and asking me, in between mouthfuls of air, if I would contribute to his little hat, which I did. I was very happy to do that. And I was in Grafton Street in Ireland, and a woman said to me, she said, would you like to give some money if you so desire? Now, I thought that was very charming for a busker, don't you?
So Derek Nimmo kept going to the whistle when gained that extra point, and he's now equal with Fred McCauley in second place behind our leader, Tony Hawks, who begins the next round. Tony, trunks. Can you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Nelly the elephant packed her trunk and said goodbye to the circus. Off she went with a trumpety trump, and she repeated the next word 3 more times. In my opinion, it's foolish for these jungle creatures to pack their trunks because they're attached to their body. I don't have a trunk. If I had a dangly thing at the front of my body, then I would certainly not whack it.
Derek Nimmo challenged.
Deviation, I don't want to know about the dangly thing in front of his body.
Everyone else does.
But I think he was talking about trunks, so you don't want to hear about it. I quite agree, but he wasn't actually deviating in just a minute. So, Tony, you keep the subject. Tell us more about trunks. 38 seconds, starting now.
Some men wear swimming trunks that are so small, they start to disappear up behind them. They are almost mooning, one could say, unintentionally. They usually hang around on Greek beaches, flexing their muscles. Their trunks, their symbol to the female beach goers, that they are attractive. Hey, look at me.
Derek Nimmo challenge.
He seems to be talking rubbish, isn't he?
I am talking rubbish.
What is it, just deviation?
Deviation,
yes, right. 17 seconds, trunks starting
probably
now.
Probably the most wonderful cabin trunks ever meant were actually constructed by
Fred Louis. Challenged.
I thought there was a little hesitation
there. Was a little hesitation there, Fred,
right.
Yes. Trunks. Tell us about Mr. What's the name?
Trunks McGowan.
Trunks McGowan. Tell us about him in 13 seconds, if you can, starting now.
The first pair of trunks I had were knitted woolen ones, which weren't so much an item of clothing, more a form of punishment. And I wonder if in 20 years' time my children will be saying, oh, do you remember these Lycra trunks, how ridiculous they were? They didn't fit.
Thank you. So Fred McCauley speaking as the whistleman got an extra point. He's still in second place behind Tony Hawks. Peter Jones, your turn to begin. The subject, cues. Could you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Well, apart from lines of people waiting to get on a bus or into a cinema or something, they're also the line which the actor, prior to you speaking, has to say so that you know when to deliver your own line. And, of course, if you forget his or even your own, it does hold up the proceedings terribly. And it's pretty boring if nobody can remember it. Of course, there are prompters, so it is business it is, to give people... What's the matter? What are you waving at?
You're carrying on, aren't you?
I thought you were going.
Fred, you challenged at last.
I thought I detected a slight hesitation.
Yes, yes, yes. There was a slight hesitation, yes, but Peter, we did enjoy it. But Fred, you have 20 seconds to tell us something about cues starting now.
Well, the kind of cues that I'm more familiar with, thanks to a misspent childhood, are snooker cues. And as the people of Scotland will know, we respect our players who use these implements to knock balls into the holes in the corner of the tables on which this game is played, and we admire them for winning £147,000 in 11 minutes and 30 seconds.
Well done, Fred. Kept going till the whistle went. And you're now back in the lead alongside Tony Hawks. And we're moving into the last round. Let me tell you, as we do so, Derek Nimmer's in third place and then Peter Jones in fourth place. And Derek, it's your turn to begin the subject, digits. Can you speak on that subject in this game, starting now?
I was reminded when this programme began, or rather just before it, by the wife of the editor of the Glasgow Herald, that I have rather curious digits. In other words, my toes are a little strange. I hadn't thought about them for years, but she said to me, she came to see me a long time ago in a music hall, Charlie Girl, and I displayed my digits for her delectation. And greatly she enjoyed it at the time. Now, I wonder about that, because I used to say nursery rhymes to them. There's the church, and there's the steeple, there's the preacher.
And Tony Hawk's challenge.
Three theirs in
Two's
very
theirs,
quick succession.
Yes.
Well, that was the rhyme. I can't change it, just for you.
Tony, you've got in with 30 seconds on digits, starting now.
There is an old joke connected with digits. Can I use your dictaphone? No, use your finger like everybody else. Dave Allen, of course, has 9 digits. He lost one at some point, but this did not stop his career blossoming. He would hold up his hand, and it would get a great amusement from the audience as they saw one finger missing. Digits of my phone number will be handed out on pieces of paper after the show.
Peter Jones' challenge.
There was a sort of hesitation.
There was a definite hesitation, and you've got in cleverly, Peter. We only 2 seconds to go on digits, starting now.
Well, they can be fingers and thumbs and toes.
Fred McCauley challenge.
There's probably about half a second, but it's the only chance I've got to mention one of the McGowan family. Who only had 8 fingers, and you'll never guess what he was called.
Right, we'll give him a bonus point for his digit fingers. Peter Jones a point for being interrupted, and he has half a second to tell us more about digits, Peter, starting now.
Very useful.
Alas, we have no more time to play. Just a minute. Let me give you the final score. Peter Jones, who has excelled in this game over many years and contributed so much, but he did this week finish in only 4th place. Little way behind Derek Nimmo, who has often triumphed in the past. But out ahead of both of them are the new player of the game, Tony Hawks, but alongside him, the man who's only played the game once before. And they are joint winners. Congratulations to Fred McCauley and Tony Hawks. It only remains for me to thank our four marvellous players of the game, which is Derek Nimmo, Peter Jones, Tony Hawkes and Fred McCauley. And also we'd like to thank this lovely audience here at the Civic Theatre in Ayr, who've been so warm and encouraging us all to play the game with such panache. I thank Liz Trott for keeping the score, blowing her whistle when 60 seconds were up. We thank Ian Messiter for thinking of the game, keeping us in work. We thank Anne Jobson for producing it so well. And also from me, Nicholas Parsons, on behalf of all of them, goodbye. Hope you'll be with us next time we play Just a Minute. Thank you.